who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do please be seated. Well, it was a particular Christmas Eve in the village of Rapstone Fanner. And in his novel Paradise Postponed, John Mortimer sets the scene of all the guests in the village vicarage sitting round the fire, and in the centre of them, the eccentric vicar, Simeon Simcox. And Simeon, well, he's addressing his guests. He says to them, you know, it might have saved a lot of trouble if it had never happened. Christmas. I mean, before that, no one had to feel sorry for slaves. And you could watch gladiators being killed as part of an afternoon's entertainment. And no one minded a bit about infant mortality or starving tribes in Asia Minor or the housing shortage in Rome. And if Christmas had never happened, it would have saved a fortune in postage stamps, wouldn't it? Well, Simeon, the eccentric vicar in Paradise Postponed, he got it spot on. The coming of Christ meant that the world can never be the same again. The coming of Christ, it shook the world. It disturbed the world. It challenged the world. It challenged people everywhere to see things differently and to think about things differently, and so to begin living differently. And so it was for the rich man in this morning's gospel reading. He runs up to Jesus and he says, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And this man, he was conventionally good. He kept all the commandments and he was obviously a man of great, great wealth. Loved his wealth, enjoyed his wealth, but there was something missing. He wanted life, real life, eternal life. A bit like, if you know it, the Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan's great sort of 17th century story, and there's a scene where the pilgrim is running towards the celestial city, shouting out, life, life, eternal life. The pilgrim and the rich man in the story both knew what they wanted. They wanted to be really alive. And so the man comes to Jesus, perhaps seeing in Jesus, sensing that somehow Jesus can provide what's missing in that young man's life, can give that life which he sought. And Jesus, well, he gives the man a challenge. He challenges the man to change. Go, he says, you've got to sell everything you have and give to the poor, then you come and follow me. Jesus, he called the young man to change his relationship with the money he loved so much, with the wealth he loved so much, and with the riches he loved so much. It's all to do with change, says Jesus. In effect, he's saying that, yes, if you come, God does accept you as you are, but if you come, God doesn't expect you to remain as you are. You've got to change your relationship with money. And that's one of the pictures, the images we have of Jesus in the gospel stories. The gospel stories are packed with images of Jesus, the gospel writers trying to sort of wrestle with trying to express the inexpressible, that who Jesus really was. And so there's the image of Jesus the healer, Jesus the teacher, Jesus the friend of sinners. Plenty, plenty of images about Jesus in the Gospels. And there's also the one we encounter this morning in that Gospel story of the rich young man. And the images of Jesus, the great disturber, the Jesus who comes to disturb people's lives, comes to challenge people's lives, comes to say, as Jesus said in effect to that young man 2,000 years ago, that, you know, God loves you, God accepts you, God calls you, but he doesn't expect you to remain the same, because the call of Christ upon you is the call to change. And in the World War II, the German theologian and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he expressed it rather more starkly. He said, he wrote one of his books, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Today we've also written, when Christ calls a woman, he bids her come and die. Because the call of Christ upon us, upon people throughout the centuries, it's the call to die to our familiar ways of seeing and familiar ways of thinking, our familiar ways of living, all these ways which are shaped by our natural instincts, by worldly insights. He's saying, look, these have got to die so that you can rise to something new, to something better, to something different. You can rise to a new way of seeing, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. And of course, that's what faith is about. Faith isn't just about believing. Faith is far, far more than believing. Faith is also a different way of seeing. It's when, as it were, we put on different spectacles and see everything differently, everything in a new light, the world, ourselves, life, death. And the vision we see is that vision given by Christ. When Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids them come and die. And so, for example, the call of Christ, the challenge of Christ, is to change the way we see greatness. You know, very often, isn't it true, in this world, greatness is ascribed to those who are famous, and those who are rich, those who wield political power. But Jesus comes and he says, look, true greatness is ascribed to the vulnerable, the weak, the small of this world. At one time he takes a child and says, look, this is a picture of greatness. Some have got to work out what that really means, but the coming of Christ gives to this world a different vision of greatness. And we're called to change the way we see the material goods which are ours and which belong to the world. That was the problem with that rich young man, because there is this encouragement, isn't there, within us all. We're all human beings, and the way the world works, we're encouraged to value our possessions, value our money, value our goods, and alas, sometimes to value the goods and to use people. But Jesus says, I'm sorry, people, folks of the world, you've got it wrong. You've got to value people and use your goods. It's the other way around, a different way of seeing and thinking and living. And the way we see power, if you like, in the world's eyes, usually to see power, it's vested in people who've got the force or the coercion to enforce their will. Those people have power. If they can enforce their will, coerce us to do their will, that's power. But in the way Christ sees things, the new vision, power is seen in that undefeatable love of God. There's that lovely passage, great passage. I mean, it's mysterious. It takes a lifetime to read it and work it out. In St. John's Gospel, there's Jesus and Pontius Pilate. And if you like, John is talking about the two different sources of power, ideas of power. There's Pilate representing Caesar with the Roman legions and all the machinations of the state. And there's Jesus representing the power of the kingdom of God, the reign of God. And that's, the gospel stories say, is the real way to see power, in that undefeatable love that went to the cross, could never ever be defeated, because of course it always rises again. Different way of seeing and understanding and living power. And the way we see ourselves, it's one or two more examples, they could go on and on, but the way we see ourselves, so often in our lives in this world, if we're, as it were, the bottom of the pile, we're taught to see ourselves, encouraged to see ourselves as worthless. And if we're at the top of the pile, life's treated us well, we're encouraged to strut around, lording it over others, you know, part again of our humanity. Jesus says, no, 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 no. There's a new way of seeing now, a new way of thinking, a new way of living. that if life hasn't treated you well and you feel, in inverted commas, at the bottom of the pile, then you are to be specially honoured. You are to be specially honoured, specially valued. And if you are, as it were, at the top of the pile and life's treated you well, it's not the calling to lord it over others. It's the calling to serve others. Because the Son of Man, said Jesus, he himself came not to be served, but to serve. And so it goes on. The gospel stories are an overwhelming manifesto to change. They're a challenge for people through the ages to die to the things which in the end spoil and mar and ruin our world, those inner instincts which want us to lord it over others or to wield power over others in a violent way or to demean others, all the things which ruin our world, that love of wealth which distorts the whole planet in which we live. Jesus said, this has all got to change. That's my challenge. There is a new way of seeing. There's a new way of thinking. There's a new way of living which has broken into this world in my coming, said Jesus. That's the transformative moment in history. A lot of modern philosophers think about the Enlightenment in the 18th century. Historic enlightenment is the great change in human thinking. But no, the Christian gospel is the great change in this world's life and history came 2,000 years ago at the coming of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. That's when history changed and this world can never ever be the same again. And so Jesus, the great disturber, he came. And to that young man 2,000 years ago in that story, well, the poor man was disturbed, very disturbed. He went away amazed, astounded, sad, because he was a man of great wealth. And Jesus' disciples, they too were astounded and amazed. And they asked, well, then who can be saved? Because we're all human beings and it's so difficult to change. So, so difficult, even if we think we should change. Very, very hard to do so. Who can be saved, they asked. And Jesus replies with his customary reassurance and encouragement. He says, with mortals, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And in effect, Jesus is saying, look, folks, this is the good news, that the challenge to change is the change to life as it should be, the world as it should be. That's my challenge, says Jesus. But there is, in all the reality of that change, a deeper reality still, and that deeper reality, the reality of God who's revealed himself in Jesus, and it's that God who comes to us in our lives to help us on your way. It's possible with God, said Jesus. You're not on your own. You've got God with you. The Holy Spirit, the risen Christ, different ways of expressing that reality, that means that power which transforms us as individuals and helps transform the world. We're all on this great adventure of change on our journey through this earth. And that change enabled, provided for by God himself. Well, said Simeon Simcox on that far off Christmas Eve, it might have saved an awful lot of trouble if it had never happened. And of course he was right. Christ the great disturber. Had he never come, then we could have all continued enjoying gladiators killing one another, and we need not have been too concerned about starving people in Asia Minor or housing shortages or whatever. But the gospel, the good news, the disturbing good news is that Christ has come. That's 2,000 years ago, that Christmas, the first Christmas. The world has been changed. And the good news is that Christ still comes in our time. The risen Christ in our midst, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. I say, think of it as you can imagine, that we're not alone. There is in this world, in all the realities, good and bad, a reality deeper still. He still comes. the great disturber in our time calls people everywhere to a different way of seeing, a different way of thinking, a different way of living. And to we who respond to his call to follow him, well, he'll be there somehow, somewhere to help us on our way. But do know this, that in responding to the call of Christ upon us, our lives can never and will never be the same.